The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, Luther's treatment of the sacraments led him to speak of two sacraments instead of the Roman Catholic system of seven. The term sacrament is not found in Scripture, so the Church has the freedom to use the term as it will. However, what the Church claims for these sacred acts must be determined by Scripture itself. It was at this important point that Luther confined himself to when speaking of baptism and the Lord's Supper as the only two sacraments. For Luther, it was essential that the sacraments be related to the gospel, that is, that they offer and convey the forgiveness of sins. To do this, they must be connected to the Word of God. If they are to be essential to the life of the Church, they must be instituted or ordained by God himself. Otherwise, the Church would be free to use or not to use them. The sacrament should also be connected with visible elements that sign or signal to us God's action in the sacrament. The sacrament should be the deeds of God for us, in the same way that God uses signs and means throughout the history of his people. So in summary, a sacrament is a sacred act ordained by God with visible means present which are connected to God's word and conveys the forgiveness of sins. Today we are considering the final and the sixth chief part of Luther's small catechism, the Lord's Supper. May the Lord bless a meditation. Firstly, the Lord's Supper is a meal. As water in baptism is a sign to us that we have been washed and cleansed in the blood of Christ, so bread and wine in the Lord's Supper are signs to us that God nourishes the new life he has given us. The Lord's Supper is just that, a meal which we are to eat and drink. The elements of bread and wine in the sacrament are not to be worshipped and adored as symbols or idols. Bread and wine are given to us as the means in which our Lord communicates to us his body and his blood. He does this for us again to accommodate our need for the assurance of his presence in our lives and to taste of his mercy. The temptation of Adam and Eve was to taste the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that they might be like God. Eating of that forbidden fruit, they tasted of sin and received judgment and death. But in the sacrament of the altar, God offers us the fruit of the field and the fruit of the vine, together with his promise that we shall receive the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. The act of eating and drinking involves our total person, our desire and all our senses. So as the first act of sinning enslaved the total person in sin and death, this sacramental eating and drinking incorporates a total person in the forgiveness and the life which Christ has won for us. What Adam and Eve had disbelieved was that because they were created in the image of God, they were as God. In the sacrament, we are now reminded that we may be refreshened in the image of Christ by receiving his righteousness and holiness. Secondly, the Lord's Supper is a mystery. Luther was well particularly suited for understanding the nature of the sacraments because of his insight into the Hebraic thought. Hebrew is an action language. In the language of the Scriptures, in the New Testament as well as in the Old, is very accurate. It is so because God comes into our lives using words and means to give himself to us. Yet when he comes, we are always involved in mystery as to how he can employ the means he does. Thus, Luther refused the temptation to try and give a scientific explanation as to how Christ comes to us in the sacrament under the forms of bread and wine. Others had tried. The doctrine of transubstantiation was the attempt to guarantee the real presence of Christ by saying the bread and the wine are changed into the body and the blood of Christ. Others tried to explain that Christ is spiritually present and that bread and wine only symbolize Christ. Against both, Luther insisted that we know Christ is present in the sacrament because he promises to be present and says, "This is my body, this is my blood." Christ's real presence in the sacrament is offered to us because he offers it. To convey this truth, Luther used the words that Christ's body and blood are given to us in, with, and under the bread and the wine. One could use as many prepositions as he wished to convey the thought that Christ comes to us through these means. However, one could never explain how he comes. Faith allows the mystery to stand and takes to itself the blessings which come by his real presence. Thirdly, the Lord's Supper is a memorial. As the understanding of Hebrew thought helps us to appreciate how God acts through means in the sacraments, so the Hebrew assists us with the word of Christ, "This do in remembrance of me." This is not memory simply in the sense of recalling something, nor does it mean that we offer up Christ again or represent the offering of Calvary. Remembrance in the Hebraic sense is to be at the event itself as if it was happening now. It is to be a part of the original event with all the force and power that the initial event itself conveyed. Thus, to read the words of Moses in Israel was to listen as though Moses was announcing them for the first time. To celebrate the Passover was to be a part of the Exodus with one's fathers. To remember Christ in the sacrament is to witness the life of Jesus. It is to witness his one-for-all life, death, and resurrection, as though it were happening for the first time. In the sacrament, we are in Bethlehem, Calvary, the empty tomb, and at the ascension. The church year and the liturgy are designed so as to permit our remembrance in the sacrament, a celebration of these events, with our involvement in them now, with all the freshness and reality of them happening for the first time. Fourthly, the sacrament is gospel. The Lord's Supper is not a variation of the forgiveness of sins, but it is the offer of the same forgiveness which God grants us in the sacrament of baptism, absolution, and the proclamation of the gospel. What the sacrament does is to impress us with the fact that our gracious God has created a variety of ways in which he can offer us the blessings of his gospel. God makes the effort to cover all contingencies to guarantee us the blessings of his love. In the Lord's Supper, he gives us this dramatic expression of his grace. This feeding and nourishing gives us something to grow on. This is a satisfaction for spiritual hunger. The Israelites called the manna in the wilderness the gift of God's grace, angel's food. Here we receive the food of the Son of God. As God gives daily bread for the sustenance of our bodies, that it might enter the bloodstream and be translated into energy, so God gives us his Son, that he might become a veritable part of our being, that we should rely on his righteousness to give service to the world. Luther laid particular stress on the fact that God goes to such great lengths to personalize the gospel for us. In the Christmas story, Luther cannot emphasize enough that the Christmas angel says, "To you is born a Saviour." Here, he is impressed with the fact that our Lord said, "This is my body which is given for you. This is my blood which is shed for you." God could not be more personal. We are singled out to be guests at his table, to be the recipient of this unique meal in which he hands to us the blessings of his grace. Fifthly, the Lord's Supper is communion. This blessed meal is called by several different names. We call it Eucharist, which means thanksgiving, because it becomes the occasion for us to thank God for the benefits of his love. We also call the meal communion. We do so because the meal is a partaking of or communion with our Lord Jesus Christ under the forms of bread and wine. It is also a communion because we are made one with one another in this meal. This was another of Luther's emphasis. He was greatly distressed by the many private celebrations of the sacrament and discouraged them because he saw them as an abuse of one of the important facets of the sacrament. He was so strongly convinced that the Lord's Supper was a congregation action that he advised that in extreme cases where the family did not have the services of a pastor, that they should not celebrate the sacrament of the altar. As a communal act of the congregation, however, he saw the blessing of the family of God united around the sacrament. In the sacrament, he said, God bakes us all together in one loaf. As we all partake of the elements, we are all made one in Christ. As God makes us his family by the gospel, so now he sets us as his family at one table to host us as a testimony of our oneness. So we also testify to our oneness and our fellowship in Christ when we accept his invitation to come and sit together at his table. Fifthly, the Lord's Supper calls for faith. As we have noted previously, that all expressions of the gospel in baptism and absolution are not dependent on our worthiness or our faith, so it is with the Lord's Supper. Faith does not make the sacrament valid. It is God's word and promise used with the bread and the wine that constitutes the sacrament. Nor do we make ourselves worthy communicants by fasting and bodily preparation, says Luther. However, faith is a means whereby we receive and take for ourselves the blessings of the Lord's Supper. The words for you, says Luther, require all hearts to believe, and he who believes these words has what they say and express, namely the forgiveness of sins. When one has the forgiveness of sins, he adds the additional blessing, for where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. Because the sacrament is the occasion for faith, we do not administer the sacrament to those who are unable to discern the presence of Christ in the sacrament, and we would withhold the sacrament from those who clearly express that they do not believe in the blessings of the sacrament or have refused to repent. However, where there is faith, the Lord's Supper is surely a joyful experience. The sacraments have been called the visible word. That is to say, they hold before us the signs which conform for us what our hearts already believe. The sign confirms what our Lord himself says in his testament for us. In his last will, signed by his own blood, that the gift of his forgiveness, we shall share life with him forever. Seventh, the Lord's Supper and eternity. The celebration of the Lord's Supper is always an anticipation of eternity. The supper makes new for us over and over the once-for-all redemption which Christ has won for us. The supper also guarantees Christ's real presence for us now. However, the supper also looks forward to his coming again in glory. The apostle says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Our Lord himself said, "I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Until that day, it is only fitting that we should partake of the sacrament at every opportunity we have. For every celebration is the occasion to ask ourselves whether we need the sacrament. Who can suggest that he does not need the sacrament? Rather, he does need the Lord's Supper for the strengthening of his faith, for the assurance of forgiveness, and for the sense of communion with his brothers. He needs to ask himself, why did Christ have to die? And what is it that he offers in the sacrament? When we answer these questions, we ought to come running frequently. Luther cautioned that unless a person went to the sacrament at least some 4 times a year, he was in danger of his heart turning to stone. Who would run that risk? Rather, let us heed our Saviour's invitation. Do this often. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.